Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass on this Wednesday. It's the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, June 14th, Flag Day 2023. Tom, looking at that forecast, yeah, there's about I think we've got a 105 degree day in there, and then it kind of moderates again. We're really fairly close to where our normal high should be. This is very unusual June, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you're right about that. We're in our normal type of June weather. We're getting there.
Yeah, because normally in the past bunch of years,
but you know, we need
tack
these,
on
we
10
need
degrees
these,
to that high of 105. I mean, it's
we,
been
we hot. Need these high temperatures
I
in
know.
Order to get the monsoon generated.
I know, to get it all cranked
so
up.
So you got the good with the bad, I guess.
Yep, we got to get through the hot weather. All right, the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. Worldwide live listening on the website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jennifer Ekstrom is with me in studio, and Jennifer has had an incredible career in public service. It's very impressive. At one time, back in the mid-90s, she was the youngest elected official in Arizona when she joined the Tucson City Council at the age of 18, later went on to become the mayor of South Tucson. At one time, she chaired and was the vice chair of the Pima Association of Governments, also chair and vice chair of the RTA, one time chief of staff to the then chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez. And she stepped away from public service for about 10 years and then decided, yeah, I want to get back into it. And she's one of five board members on the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. And this is very serendipitous to have you on today, because there's yesterday's meeting, last night's meeting, was really important. Let's start with the budget that was put forward. This is a tentative spending plan for the next 12 months. What are we looking at Tucson Unified for spending?
So with all of our M&O, our desegregation budget, we're looking at a budget of about $846 million.
Hmm.
So it's pretty big, and we did receive a one-time allocation of $300 million from the governor and their budget. So we're really excited about that.
So this spending plan still has some government money that was put forth during the pandemic.
Correct, and that goes away in 2024.
Mm-hmm. What is that money used for? What can it be used for?
So it's really up to each school on how they use their ESSER funds. A lot of the different schools have used them for teaching positions, new furniture or upgrades to their classrooms, just a variety of different things, you know, that they were able to use that money for.
Is there some money for our teachers?
We do have money for our teachers. We approved a increase in pay for our teachers, and also for our self-contained special ed teachers. They will be receiving a $10,000 raise on their base salary. So we are really excited about that.
Well, and one of the areas you ran on to become a board member was improving the financial security of Tucson Unified's teachers. So that's got to make you feel good.
It does. I just, you know, I wish it was more. Mm-hmm. Just like anything, we want to retain our teachers. They are really the backbone of the district. So, you know, I'm really hoping that we are able to give them, you know, better wages in the coming years.
How about now, one of the other 3 points that kind of the marquee items that were brought up at the meeting, the disciplinary plan. This disciplinary plan has been talked about for a long time, hasn't it, Jennifer?
It has been, and we really wanted to make sure that we got a committee together of teachers, students, parents, community members, that they all came together and really had a say on the student code of conduct. When we were first presented with the revisions, there wasn't very many people that were engaged, but at the end of it, we had almost 10,000 voices from students, parents, teachers, staff, that includes janitorial staff. So we were really excited about all the outreach that was done by Ms. Warmbrand. She's one that spearheaded this and really got all of this information back to us. It was really a labor of love for her. And so we just wanted to make sure that we had student and teacher safety in mind for this student code of conduct. And if we find that it's not working out, we are going to be having, you know, discussions throughout the year to make sure that we've made the right choices.
Can you give us a few of the highlights of this plan?
Sure. So we really wanted to focus on restorative justice and restorative plans with our students. So for example, if a high school student is engaging in a PDA, for example, beforehand, they would have to call the parents. But now, you know, it's up to the teacher and the administration to have a conversation with those high schoolers and say, hey, knock it off. This is your one-time chance. Next time we have to call your parents.
A PDA?
Yeah, you know, public display of affection.
Oh, okay.
That kind of
okay.
thing. We also made sure that if you were insulting your teacher or threatening them in any way, that increased from a level 2 to a level 3. So we're really just making sure that students understand that they can't be rude to their teacher, come in late, and not have consequences.
What were some of the consequences before? Maybe this thing, there must have been a plan before, but it didn't maybe have much teeth to it.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, increasing the levels, so it's a level 1 to a level 4. So with that, we've made harassment and that type of thing a level 2 where it was a level 1 before. So we've just really made sure that we are nipping these behaviors in the bud before it becomes a big issue, hopefully.
And if it's bad enough, the student could be dismissed or left out of the whole picture.
Well, really what they have to do is they have an amount of times that they can do these different behaviors. So within an elementary school time, so from K through 5, you can do different behaviors. But if you start over again in middle school, so then you have a clean slate. So then in middle school, if you know you're having a great year in fifth grade, but in sixth grade you decide to do something horrible and you're given like a level 3 in school suspension, you know, that stays with you until you move on to high school. And in high school, you have a clean slate.
Hmm.
So let's say, for example, you do
something. So your record is basically from elementary school. If you had some problems in elementary school, when you go on to high school, the record is expunged.
So to speak, yes. So it really gives the student an opportunity to correct those behaviors.
Mm-hmm. So could you kind of go over, you mentioned some levels. How many levels are there and what do they include?
So it's a level 1 to a level 5, where level 5 would be the highest level that you could get to, and that would include like firearms, threatening a school.
The fight that went on at Tucson Unified or at Tucson High, was that like a level, highest level?
No, was like a level 3.
Okay.
You know, fighting is it's being defined as two willing parties engaging in a fight. So that's really what that is.
So go ahead with those levels again.
So level 1 would be something like being constantly tardy.
Okay.
And then level 5 would be a threatening a school, threatening a teacher, bringing firearms to school, that sort of thing.
Hmm. Okay, so and the students, how are they going to know about this? Is this going to be available for them to find out, you know, widely publicized?
Yes, so we will be training our teachers and staff this summer, and the goal is to have all of this ready for the school year. That way students do get to go over what that code of conduct is. So we're making sure that that's all done in August.
So, and the budget passed, it was unanimous. The five members of the budget said yes to this budget.
Yeah, it's just
it's a tentative budget.
It's preliminary. Yeah. We will be voting on the budget in July, at our July 11th meeting.
And the disciplinary plan also was unanimous?
It was unanimous.
Mm-hmm. How's the feeling among the board? How's everybody getting along? I mean, folks know there's been a little history there. Not a little history, kind of a big history.
You know, we all get along. We all respect each other. We all have various ways on how we govern. But there is a respect there between us. And being able to have a dialogue that's respectful, it really shows. And you can see that during our meetings.
And this is a unpaid position.
It is.
There's a lot of hours, though, right?
There are.
Mm-hmm. Studying all these different plans. All right. When we come back with Jennifer Ekstrom, one of the five members of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, will there be a bond election? That's what our topic will be. It was discussed last night. We'll hear what Ms. Ekstrom has to say about that and what the board agreed upon after we take a break. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, perfect time of year to get some of the summer flowers in your garden. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They have a 13-acre site, and I don't think they could put any more gardening accessories and plants on that site. You will find everything you need for the garden there. And I really like their staff. You know, if you go and say, well, they've got the summer rains coming, I'd like something that's going to survive the very hot days that we'll have until the rain, they'll point you in the right direction so you get something in your garden that's going to thrive throughout our summer rainy season, which hopefully will be not that far away. Green Things, AZ.com, and their sister business on site is called Zocalo Village. Wonderful items from beautiful merchandise from Mexico. Some of that Talavera pottery is just outstanding. ZocaloVillage.com. Jennifer Ekstrom is with us in studio. It's good to catch up with Jennifer. I remember interviewing Jennifer during my TV days when she was like the mayor of South Tucson. At one time, she was like the youngest elected official in Arizona when she was on the South Tucson City Council at age 18. So she took 10 years off and then decided, you know, I think I can serve my community. So she ran for the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. She won. She's one of five members on the board. And it sounds like, from what you said before the break, Jennifer, that there's a pretty good chemistry with this group.
There is, you know, we don't always agree with each other, but we are respectful with one another, and we're able to have those conversations in the open. And it's just really, it's great to see that even with, you know, our differing opinions, that we can respect one another.
All right, let's talk about a bond election. Will voters have a chance to vote on that?
Yes. Yesterday we passed 5-0 to have TUSD put forth a bond for the November 7th election.
November 7th. So tell us about what's involved here.
So we are asking for $480 million, and that would include repair upgrades to our schools, improvements to classrooms, health and security and safety, access to updated technology, and student transportation. And the great thing about this is that all 88 schools within the district will receive some sort of upgrade to their neighborhood schools.
It's been a while, hasn't it, since we had a bond election that passed?
Yes, it's been a while. But really, we need to make sure that we upgrade our classrooms and our you know, some of these places that I visit, some of these schools that I visit, they're over 100 years old, and they have really had to make do with what they had. And it's time to upgrade. It's time to give our students a great learning environment. And I believe that with this bond, we can accomplish that.
What's the security package involved here?
So that would be upgrades to fencing, security films on windows, and cameras.
Mm-hmm. So $480 million, and this will be pretty much anybody in Pima County will be able to vote on this?
Correct. So anybody living within the TUSD school boundaries gets to vote on this in November.
What's going to be the kind of the marquee selling point of this, Jennifer Ekstrom?
That all 88 neighborhood schools will receive some sort of package from this bond. And it's very important. For example, yesterday we were presented with what Mission View School would get in South Tucson, and they really need updates to their sewer and electricity, just basic needs that these schools really need upgrades with. And it's important that we make sure that the voters understand that every neighborhood school will receive something.
Does this come at the right time, as far as you're concerned, with the district was under the court supervision for the desegregation order? It seems like forever, many, many decades. So maybe this feels like the right time.
I believe so. And I believe with these security upgrades and things like that, we really need to take inventory of what we are providing for our students. And now is the right time to do this.
Anything about academic achievement in the bond, or is this more of an infrastructure program?
No, it's more of an infrastructure program.
How are we doing as far as the academics?
We're doing pretty well. Everybody took a dive during COVID. We're just trying to make sure that we're not focusing on teaching to tests. We realize that when a child comes into school for kindergarten and they know maybe five words, and when they leave kindergarten and they know 50, that's a learning experience. And so they've learned something. I believe we should focus on that.
The Board of Supervisors has a program now where parents can put the kids into before preschool, mm-hmm. right? How many students do you think are taking advantage of that?
So that's the PEMA Early
Childhood Education yes. Program.
So in TUSD, we have two early childhood learning centers, and that's Brookdon Shoemaker. And then we have various preschools throughout the district. And at any given time, they can have from 12 to 20 students in those classrooms.
Let's go back to teachers. How are we going to get more teachers into the classroom, and how are we going to retain the ones that we have?
I think with, a raising salary, I think that's really important. That's something that we tried to do with this year's budget. With the student code of conduct, we're really focusing on respect to teachers and making sure that they are respected and that their voices are heard. And we want to make sure that teachers are able to teach the way that they want to. And we really have to respect teachers in that aspect. And I think the district has come a long way.
What do you think of this school superintendent Horn with this hotline that he has where people can call in and say that some have said it's like kind of a tattletale. This teacher is not doing this or this. What do you think?
I really believe that it's unfortunate that he is focusing on a tattletale hotline with all of the money that we are losing because the state has not funded public education in many, many years, that this is something that we're focusing on. We are bleeding money through vouchers and things like that. I don't get it. Really, it's unfortunate. There are other things that we should be focusing on.
A caller has, didn't want to go on the air, but asked, when was the last time that there was a non-unanimous vote on the board? In other words, you guys have pretty much been on the same page a lot, right?
Yeah, not every time. Like, for example, there was an item pulled from our consent agenda where Ms. Shaw decided not to vote for paying for dairy products because she really wanted to see alternative products presented to us. Mm. And that's fair. So, it's not always unanimous. But in these key issues for the bond and for our student code of conduct, to have it unanimous, that really means something.
This code of conduct is the first one. It's the first revamp in many years, I guess. Right?
Yes, it's been like 3 years.
3 years mm-hmm. since, and there, you said there was a lot of work that went into it. A lot of meetings with parents, right?
Meetings with parents, with students, with community members, with staff. We really wanted to make sure that it was a well-rounded voices that were heard, because we want to make sure that everybody in our community and our schools are safe.
So what's the big issue going to be in the new fiscal year, trying to deal with the budget?
budget's always going to be a big thing, and how we pay our teachers and our staff. You know, that's always going to be a big issue for me, making sure that our staff and teachers get raises.
Are you glad that you decided to get back into this?
I am glad that I decided to get back into this. Really, this is me. I enjoy doing things for my community, and visiting schools, it's just been a great experience, and it's something that I'm really glad that I decided to do.
And there are 88 schools,
yes,
that are in this portfolio?
Yes.
Yeah. And there was talk of trying to break up TUSD at the legislature, but I don't think that went anywhere.
No, it didn't. I mean, our district's bigger than some congressional districts in the state. So, you know, it really is a labor of love for the five of us to be on this board and to do good things for our students.
All right, Jennifer Ekstrom, good to see you again. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bill.
Jennifer Ekstrom, one of five members on the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. And if you're just tuning in, there were three very important items that passed unanimously at last night's board meeting. The budget, there were $846 million tentative budget spending plan, the disciplinary code of conduct plan has passed, and there will be a bond election, a $480 million bond election coming up in November of 24, this November.
This November.
This November. There you go. So that's right around the corner. Thank you again, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, waiting in the wings. We'll have him in studio with me right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham joins us in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Normally, we have the councilman on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, but it is the summer, and Councilman Paul Cunningham is off. He is in the field of education. As a teacher, teachers get the summer off, but first of all, good to see you, sir.
It's great to be here.
In
great
person,
to
be, right?
Great to reconnect in person.
I mean, do teachers, what do they do in the off season? A lot of them work, right?
So I was just
you work all the time as a console person, but you also, you know, have your teaching gig.
So I was just on the phone with one of the people that I in my department talking
right.
about some of the changes. We're going to go by the school and take a look at some equipment that we need to deliver. I mean, you're still doing stuff as a teacher in the summer. It's just you've got a lot more flexibility. You've got time to do things. But you definitely you get that the summer is that time to be ready for the fall. And we go back to work, I think, October 1st or October 8th this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be ready. We want to put our best foot forward and create a great learning environment for our children.
The news out of the meeting last night, we just had Jennifer Ekstrom, board member, on. There will be a bond election. It's been many years. I think the last one failed. It was about 5 or 6 years ago. How do you think people feel about TUSD?
Well, I think there's been a huge improvement because of what we're seeing in enrollment numbers in the high schools. We're seeing, like, a good example is at Rincon, they graduated more seniors than they have in about a decade this year. Palo Verde's incoming freshman class is its largest in 12 years. Saguaro's still sustaining. We've got Cholla and Pueblo doing pretty well, like especially as far as enrollment goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing a little bit of a resurgence in the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the challenge has been the middle school level. I think there were some decisions made some 20, 30, 40 years ago that at the time made sense. I mean, you can't even knock the board 30 or 40 years ago, but we kind of stuck to those principles, and we just got a little behind in the facility side of middle schools. And so that's kind of what this bond for it.
Right.
It's an opportunity to give us an equalizer and allow some of those middle schools that don't, say, have auditoriums or gymnasiums or music specialized music rooms with good acoustics,
mm-hmm.
or art rooms or dance rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We can probably put those in. And middle school has evolved a little bit where when we were – it's not like when you and I were kids, Bill. When we were kids, the high school was the place – you know, everybody got to be good at something. There was a club for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Now, those are so specialized, and a lot of kids in sports are doing that sport year-round by the time they're sophomores in high school. So the middle school's that opportunity to have something for everybody and everybody to get to dabble a little
bit. Yeah, and where I came from on the North Shore of Chicago, the middle school was called junior high school.
Sure.
You would go to elementary school through sixth grade, then you'd have seventh and eighth. And that was a wonderful time, very formulative years.
Yeah,
the junior high. Wasn't there some talk about here in Tucson maybe going to that kind of system?
When I was a kid, that's where we were. I went to Utterback Junior High, and my principal was a man named Ross Sheard,
okay.
who was a dynamo. He was just an amazing principal, and he built this faculty. Well, part of the faculty had been there for a while, and part of the faculty had been there, but there were legendary teachers in this faculty. Brenda Krellen, the founder of Tom Thumb Players, rest in peace, Pam Copley, who was a former Broadway star and put together these amazing shows.
Mm-hmm.
You had Barry Roberts, longtime referee, but also and actually a music guy, but he is a brilliant math teacher and ultimately ended up teaching at UHS in the calculus department. So we had this really neat faculty there. And at that time, Utterback Middle School was like the model of how to make a middle school that would be considered in a rougher area successful.
So why'd we go to 6th, 7th, and 8th?
Well, I think there were some problems with sixth graders. I think that there was a national study that came out that said middle school model was a better model. Who knows?
Okay.
I mean, other districts did too. That's not the issue.
Okay.
I think the issue that TUSD had was as some of the other middle schools in different districts like Tanque Verde and in Vail and in Catalina Foothills built new facilities. They added the feature of a gymnasium. They added a feature of a music room. They added a feature of a, like, it was more like a mini high school campus than an expanded elementary campus. And we've got to kind of be, to be frank with you, TSD kind of needs to keep up with the Joneses a little bit and enhance their campuses to make that middle school, to make their middle schools a little more competitive facilities-wise.
All right, let's transition over to City.
Sure.
Donovan Durbin left us. Great guy. Donovan was such a key part of revitalizing downtown, going all the way back to the 90s. I mean, my friend Tim Steller at the Star had a really nice tribute today to Donovan.
Yeah, Tim did a great job. Tim did a great job, and that kind of captured the essence of what Donovan was all about. But he, you know, he's that never quit guy. So, like, never quit on that. And so he was downtown all the way. He was like, downtown, don't quit on it. Like, that was his belief. And there were some, you know, there were times when downtown was sagging, and there were times that you know, during the early Rio Nuevo, or while we were waiting for the Tiger Ant, and he was always the guy saying it was going to come together. And sometimes you'd be a little cynical, but he believed. And sure enough, what, you know, that vision of downtown that he shared with a bunch of people, a lot of that has come. I mean, downtown is vibing. It's a very thriving downtown, comparative to other cities. And Donovan was a big part of that. I think, again, I never had a conversation with him that put me in a bad mood.
Wow.
I never had a conversation with him where I left upset. Sometimes I'd come to him really frustrated, and I'd leave being way more confident and feeling much better about the situation.
Boy, it was a 1-2 punch. He and Mayor Walkup, I remember so many times interviewing Mayor Walkup almost every month on our TV show, and I'd always say, when are we actually going to see something happen downtown? And the mayor was a cheerleader for it, and right behind him was Donovan Durbin.
Yeah. And he, you know, I think he was at DTP at the time, and then he got brought in with, I think he was at Steve's office for a minute.
Yeah, with Kasachek,
And he did a great job, and ultimately what came to fruition ultimately was a lot of Donovan's work, and he leaves a legacy that's just unbelievable. We should celebrate him and mourn him at the same time.
And we will celebrate him. A memorial celebration is now set at the Fox on Saturday, June 24th. It's from noon until 2 in the afternoon. Paul Cunningham is with me, Tucson City Councilman. I was not surprised that the program, the TEP, the which should have been, and historically these renewals, Tucson Electric Power, they had a renewal of their franchise agreement, I think it's called, 25-year deal. I wasn't surprised it went down, because there were a couple of different factions that, one, didn't understand it, and two, there are a lot of people that want to say no now to just about anything.
Well, first of all, let's start with the reason that we liked it. It started as probably one of the more progressive deals, one of the most progressive franchise agreements for any utility in the state. But none of us were ride or die with it. We were just like, okay, this has to be done. This is a good way to go about it. Let's get what we can. They want to go early. We'll ask them for some undergrounding. We'll be able to thread the needle with this crosstown power line piece. And at the same time, we'll have some money later for some more undergrounding. We'll also get some climate action items and some renewable energy items in there. And so we thought that was a pretty good package. It was a little rushed, but at the time I just felt, hey, you know, this is part of government. This is what it has to do. As it started, the election started inching up closer, TEP went out for a rate case with ACC where they have to go to the Arizona Corporation Commission to receive a 12% increase. And that just didn't.
Oh, boy.
The voters
wrong
just.
Time.
So a lot of people, the timing just that left a bitter taste. And then the other piece was that even though we were going to be able to underground these lines in certain areas, we didn't really anticipate that. A lot of other neighborhoods were going to say, hey, wait a minute, what about us?
Yeah.
And so I think as that discussion evolved, a lot of us changed our attitude because none of us were really, oh, we have to do this.
Yeah.
So I stand by the vote at the time, but I'm not crying tears at night at the loss. I think we go back and look at a bite of the apple. Ultimately, from a core value piece, if we can figure out how to amortize a 50-year deal where we can actually buy the utility in the right of way, great. But I don't think I don't know if that's fiscally responsible. And I don't even think it's worth, it may or may not be worth the trouble of looking into, but I'm not sure. What I will say is this, what we want to do long-term with TEP, whether we advance an opportunity to buy it as a public utility, we probably want to promote some type of battery subscription competition. So in other words, you don't have to be on grid. You can be the technology exists right now, but it'll exist even more in the next few years, where depending on your roof space and your capacity for solar at your house, you can literally have a battery company deliver a battery for a couple weeks and then come back 2 weeks later and remove that battery and put in another battery. And I think the entire energy industry is going to evolve a little bit. So for me, I'm of the belief that while this is a good election to kind of show where TEP stands, if they keep going back for rate cases and stuff, it's also an opportunity to take a look at how we do this industry, how this business is run, and see what kind of things we can do to move it along to kind of evolve a little bit.
All right, Ward 2, City Council member, Tucson City Council member, Democrat Paul Cunningham with me in studio. Take a break right here. I've still got so much in my stack of stuff here for Paul. Let's try to cover some of those items when we come back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We love Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I suggest it'd be a great weekend getaway, or why not a midweek getaway? Nice time of year over there. 81 degrees midday in Silver City. The mile high elevation really does make a difference, especially in the summer. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for what to do, where to stay, and even some great places to eat. Ward 2 City Council member Paul Cunningham with me in studio. I'm always look forward to the summers with Paul because he can come into the studio. We always have to do our telephone interviews because he works in school. Our live line when we do the interviews with Paul, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We had City Manager Mike Ortega on our Friday Focus interview, Councilman Cunningham. He's real optimistic and excited about city parks and rec. We've got
Larry Hamaway,
yeah, on the show next week. But the good news is they're really, the pools are all open in the city again.
Well, Lara
and
did
fully
a great,
staffed.
Lara did a great job, yeah. And her team did a great job. They responded to our challenge that the council put out to them last year when we had a lifeguard shortage. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks in all walks of life, in counties, municipalities, private companies, had this labor pinch over the last 2 years coming out of pandemic.
Yeah,
and
shortage applies to lifeguards.
You couldn't hire anybody. You couldn't get materials. You just couldn't kind of get things done. So things kind of were grinding along, and she responded. She brought in TJ from the University of Wyoming, the aquatics director from the University of Wyoming. He's our new aquatics director. Every single pool is fully staffed, and that
great.
Is just outstanding. A quick thing in Ward 2 that's going on, we had a significant algae bloom in the Fort Lowell Pond. And so our team, we had to put a fence up, and our team is working around the clock to figure out a way to make that habitat safe for the wildlife there. I to some degree, how I understand it, is that there was so much wildlife thriving in there.
We were kind of victim. All the turtles.
Yeah, we were a victim of our own success. And so all of a sudden, the ecosystem was thrown significantly off balance. But just wanted to talk about that. And her team again, the parks team again, was amazing in responding right away, letting our team know what was going on. And that's what I appreciate, is when we've got great department heads doing the jobs they need to do. And that goes over to fire. I mean, for the first time, I think even since I've been in office, the fire department is fully staffed, not including the academy. So in other words, a lot of times you'll say, hey, we're fully staffed, but some of these people are in academy and not deployable. Hmm. Right now we are fully staffed at every firehouse, including the probationary officer firefighters that we're going to have in the academy.
This is the first I've heard of this.
An exciting piece.
Well, I'm happy, and again, it's serendipitous. We've got Chief Ryan a week from Friday as our Friday Focus interview. I did not know now the fire department is fully staffed. Are you talking about we've got the allotment of firefighters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
I can say that with great confidence, and I can say that Chief Ryan is an outstanding chief. I don't want to I will in no way diminish the work that Jim Critchley did to build this and Joe to kind of
set the stage
and kind of make it work.
Uh-huh.
But that's what our team did. So I'm really excited about how that happened.
Wow.
And again, you know, this budget was a little bit interesting. When I first took office, the general fund budget was under $400 million. This budget was $753. When I first took office, we had a $56 million deficit. And this year we're running north of $128 million in surplus. So there's all these weird things that go on. It isn't a question of funding these days. It's a question of people. And how can we get people to say, hey, I want to be part of the city of Tucson. I want to be on board. And it isn't, mm-hmm. We have to unlearn what we've learned.
Yeah.
It used to be, hey, we're going to get you a pension. Hey, we're going to get you a great vacation package. Hey, we're going to get you, you know, competitive pay. But some people don't. They're looking less for
so
that.
So what are they looking for?
They're looking
for recruiting people. What are you saying?
They're looking for flexibility and scheduling.
Okay.
They're looking for the ability to have work-life balance. And I think they're looking for opportunities to retire debt and even purchase homes. And I think those are, it wasn't purchase homes before, like 3 years ago, that wasn't a big thing. Now all of a sudden it is with interest rates rising. So all those things are there, and we have to put those into our, you just kind of, you're making a stew, and you're putting that information into a pot, and then you're pulling out those items one at a time and organizing them into make solutions. And that's what we're doing at the city. We're doing pretty well.
Think how important HR has become now in this age of recruiting people. There's shortages everywhere.
It hasn't. It's become more. Yeah, HR is no longer just, hey, here's your benefits.
Yeah.
And by the way, this how many hours you have. HR is a function of, hey, this is what we're going to do to not only attract employees, but retain employees. And it's a game you're playing all the time. And for one thing that is nice, though, is that here in Tucson, because of the hiring practices and screening process we have, we've got a lot of great employees in the city of Tucson. You go to department, some of the people have been around a long time. They just bring so much experience and institutional knowledge to the fray that is often undervalued.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Mike Ortega, this guy, 8 years, his anniversary is July 1. He's now the second longest serving city manager.
And I can tell you from my own experience, having that kind of stability in that office creates a sense of family. It creates a sense of ownership among the team running things. And what's crazy is we've got these amazing people right underneath them. We got Liz Morales, who basically rebuilt our housing and community development program. In the last 18 months, we've taken 635 people from the streets, from homelessness to permanent housing.
Are you kidding me?
That's better. The only city that's put up better numbers than that in the last 10 years is like Houston, and they're supposed to be the greatest model ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we just got people doing things. We got Tim Tomier. He's the one who helped
put
the project together to have water in the Santa Cruz. That is a revolutionary, totally innovative recharge project for our water. And here we are. If you made like a circle around Tucson and would include Midland and Lubbock, and you'd include the Phoenix area, mm-hmm. San Diego, Fresno, El Paso, that, you know, you can't really include the higher elevation places like Alba that have groundwater forever, but those type of places, we're in a better water position than any of those places. And that's a testament to some of the work we've done so well. So it's been an amazing opportunity and an amazing last 5 years to be a part of it. The only thing that really happened was COVID. It kind of put us in this grind, and some of the stuff we were working on that was really exciting, we had to kind of hit the pause button.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a lot of fun. So I want to finish that. I've got some unfinished business.
Yeah, I mean, these people like our police chief, these are really kind of world-class people in their fields.
Oh, Chief Kazmar is unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
And he's Tucson
everywhere.
And he knows everybody.
Yes.
That's why he's effective. He's got the troops. He's communicating in an effective way with them and holding the balance. And he's also communicating with the community in an effective way. And that's all you can ask for from a police chief in this day and age. So we've got some great people. We've got a great team. And I usually reserve it and say, hey, we're doing okay for the city and all these other things. But I like to say today we have a great city, and we are doing a lot of things that I could only dream about 10 years ago that we're doing now. So
right,
I'm really
Paul,
proud of us.
Paul Cunningham, enjoyed the conversation. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Have a great week.
Thank you very much. That's going to do it. On behalf of Councilman Cunningham, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, Bill Buckmaster, here in the driver's seat, saying have a great afternoon, everybody.